This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. You know, every child dreams of traveling into a land where the inhabitants are all the size of toy soldiers, where a general can use the palm of your hand for a parade ground. But it remained for a clergyman in a little church in Larrochore, Ireland, to bring this fancy to life in one of the most charming tales of our language. His name was Dean Jonathan Swift, and he used the fabulous voyages of a man he called Lemuel Gulliver to kid the living daylights out of the human race. This is one of the most fanciful satires ever penned, a devastating but delightful book that is as timely today as it was 2 centuries ago. The man who selected this as his favorite story is an Academy Award winner, the Paramount star Ray Milland. Dean Swift's Mr. Gulliver took 4 voyages in all. One was to the land of Brobdignag, where all the inhabitants were towering giants. One voyage was to Laputa, the land of the scientists, where one philosopher worked for 8 years to extract sunshine from a cucumber. A very famous voyage was to the land of the Houyhnhnms and the Yahoos, where the horses were the master race and human beings were tied up in stables. But the most celebrated voyage of all is the one you're going to hear as this week's favorite story. We're heading for the Isle of Lilliput, where the Lilliputians are as tall as one's thumb, and their behavior is pretty much on the same scale. So close your eyes, and before you know it, General Glumbuck, Galbasto Mullyullygoo, Admiral Flimnap, and a great many other distinguished personalities will be climbing up your sleeve in the general direction of your ear. Here's Ray Milland's favorite story, Act One.
My story opens on a storm.
Man the pub, Mr. Gulliver, lift a hand!
Aye, aye, sir!
Rock the head to starboard!
We're driving against the reef!
Abandon ship, Mr. Gulliver, pass the order!
Abandon ship!
By some miracle, I alone was thrown clear of the stricken ship. I swam as fortune directed me, pushed forward by the wind and tide, until, when I was ready to sink from exhaustion, my feet touched ground, and I staggered onto a wide and desolate beach, so tired and weak that I dropped to the ground and fell into a heavy sleep. Then suddenly I seemed to hear voices pounding and throbbing in my ears. Strange little voices.
Brigade! Halt! Soldiers of Lilliput, I read you a message from our glorious king. Courageous Lilliputians, buckle on your courage and subdue this terrible monster which lies sleeping on our shores. Lumos, Kelmen, Pefo, Lilliput. Forward, sons of Lilliput, to victory!
Yay! Forward to victory!
Captain Zigzag,
deploy your men along the Man Mountain's left flank. I want 100 volunteers to stake the monster to the ground. Have the cables arrived?
The strongest ever forged in Lilliput.
We must bind him down before he awakens.
The volunteers are ready, sir.
I'll speak to them. Men, your deed will be spoken of by your children and by their children. Remember, the Man Mountain is to be made fast from head to foot. The armies of Lilliput stand ready for action. If the Man Mountain dares threaten you, the order is charge!
General Glumbuck.
Yes, Captain?
I desire to report that the Man Mountain is secured. The cables are in place.
Good. Instruct His Majesty's archers to draw their bows and prepare to fire on him if he attempts to stir himself.
The Man Mountain's eyes, they are open and staring at us.
Alert the army. Draw your sword. Draw mine. No. I'll draw myself. I'll stand up to this colossus. Now, sir, you, Man Mountain, in the name of His Imperial Majesty, Galbasto Mullialdigu, most mighty Emperor of Lilliput, I command you to remain where you are. Do not move a muscle, sir.
Can I believe my eyes? Do I really see before me a human creature no larger than my big toe, strutting on my chest and brandishing a sword at me? Oh, no, there's some folly worked by my tired brain. I'll rise up and wipe away this mockery. I can't move. I seem to be tied, strapped down. My hair is fettered to the ground. If only I could turn my head.
The Man Mountain's head, it moves. The cables are giving away.
Captain, give a command to fire.
Fire on the Man Mountain.
Fire on the Man Mountain.
Ow! Ow, stop! The devil! They're shooting needles at me. Stop! Ow! What do you want of me?
You are a prisoner of His Imperial Majesty.
A prisoner of... Colonel, hear me. I am a peaceful man.
General, sir. General Glumbuck.
General, I am a peaceful man. I mean no harm to your people. Please loosen my bonds so that I might stretch my limbs.
Sorry, Man Mountain. Can't do it. I'd be hanged for a traitor. You see my position.
But I must have food, General. And drink. I have a great hunger, and my thirst is terrible.
Well, don't breathe so hard. Your chest heaves so I can scarcely hold my balance.
I'm so sorry.
And I think I'm growing a little sick with the motion. What were we discussing?
My dinner, General.
Well, yes. There I can oblige you, Man Mountain. While you slept, I arranged to have installed at the heel of your left foot a field kitchen where 60 of the king's finest cooks have prepared a meal for you.
Oh, good.
With your permission, the food will be conveyed to your mouth by means of ladders.
Oh, splendid.
Captain?
Yes, General?
Throw up the ladders and commandeer a troop of your bravest men to carry the food to the Man Mountain's mouth. And, Captain, you understand His Majesty's orders?
Yes, General. A powerful drug, strong enough to retire 3,000 Lilliputians, has been mixed into the drink.
Excellent.
Most delicious, though your barrels look like our thimbles. Oh, delicious.
The drug has taken effect. Now to work.
And while I slept, 1,000 engineers and carpenters set to work to build the greatest wagon ever conceived in Lilliput. And by means of pulleys, 900 men lifted me up.
Easy, men. Let him down easy. Bring up the right foot. Who is in charge of the right foot?
I am, Captain.
Put 40 more men on the ankle rope. That ought to do it. Up! Up! He's in! The Man Mountain is in the wagon!
And 1,500 of the Emperor's strongest horses, each nearly a quarter of an inch long, drew me to the city, where the king, standing on a scaffold erected to the level of my eyes, saluted me and addressed himself to my left ear.
Man Mountain, will you swear a peace with my kingdom? And will you render homage to me, its king?
I will, Your Majesty.
Then hear the articles under which you will be granted your freedom. One, The man Mountain shall not depart from our dominions without license from the king.
Agreed.
Two, he shall take the utmost care not to trample upon the bodies of our loving subjects or take any of our citizens into his hands without their consent.
Well, of course not, of course.
Three, the man Mountain shall be our ally against our enemies on the island of Blefuscu and do his utmost to destroy their fleet, which is now preparing to invade us. Given at the palace of Beltheborak on the 12th day of the 91st moon of my reign, by Golbasto Mullioligu, scourge of the universe, whose feet press down to the center and whose head touches the sun. Oh, that's me. Do you consent to these terms, Man Mountain?
Most willingly, Your Majesty.
Fine. Now release the Man Mountain from his bonds, so that he may swear an oath of allegiance, according to the custom of Lilliput.
Release the Man Mountain!
That damn way the Man Mountain rises!
Ah, that's good. Mind if I stretch myself, Your Majesty?
Not at all.
What's that? Oh, thank you, Your Majesty.
Man Mountain.
I'll sit down, Your Majesty. We're rather out of touch with each other, with me standing.
Let the Man Mountain descend. Now, in order that your pledge may have effect, you must make the Lilliputian sign of trust.
And how is that done, Your Highness?
Place your right foot in your left hand, the middle of your right hand on the crown of your head, and your thumb on the tip of your left ear.
Middle? Right hand, thumb, there.
I congratulate you and welcome you to Lilliput.
Your Majesty, the search. You've forgotten. We are to examine the Man Mountain's pockets.
Yes. Man Mountain, one thing more.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Do not be offended now, but we think it's prudent that you be searched. You understand? A mere formality. Anything we take from you will be returned when you leave the country. A receipt will be issued you.
Well, I have nothing to hide, Your Majesty.
Well, still, I must insist that you turn out your pockets and place whatever objects they may hold in the great field to the right of us, which has been cleared for the purpose.
Very well.
My minister will write down a description of these articles for publication in our newspapers. Let us commence with your coat pocket, Man Mountain.
Let's see what he's got. One great piece
of cloth large enough to serve as a rug in His Majesty's throne room.
My handkerchief, Your Majesty.
A great silver chest the size of His Majesty's coat. Open it up, Man Mountain.
As you wish, sir.
It is filled with a kind of earth, a kind of brown...
Enough, Your Majesty.
Close the chest. Snuff? What devil's substance is this?
Men of my country sniff it for pleasure, sir.
I don't believe it. Minister, let this chest be buried in the ground, lest this strange powder get loose and afflict our whole nation.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, what else, Man Mountain? Turn out your pockets. Let's have it all.
Let's see what he's got.
A sort of entrance from the back of which extends several long poles, resembling the palisades before His Majesty's castle.
Only my comb, Your Majesty. And, last of all, this.
A strange machine which appears to be a globe, half silver and half some transparent metal, and on the transparent side certain curious figures. By Krampus! It talks!
What is the purpose of this instrument, Man Mountain?
Men of my land seldom do anything without consulting such a machine. It governs all their actions. It's called a watch.
I understand, Man Mountain. Minister, let this machine be placed in the great park outside my palace, and let a temple be built around it, and let the people come and bow down to it. No one shall say that the Emperor of Lilliput does not recognize the great god Watch.
By Quinbus, we're ready for Act Two of Ray Milland's favorite story, Gulliver's Travels. Like our friend Gulliver, I feel a bit tall in this company. So if you'll scale your imagination back to Lilliputian size, we'll continue the fabulous adventures of a man-sized man in a thumb-sized isle. The usual high tariff fee, 30 flicknocks, has been waived, so without cost to you, you are cordially invited to travel a few short glumdluffs to the... Mr. Gulliver, will you carry on?
By good behavior and a courteous observance of the laws of the land, I soon acquired the trust and confidence of the Lilliputians. I would sometimes lie down and let five or six of them dance on my hand, and the children delighted to play hide-and-seek in my hair. One day, the king ordained that I should have a new suit. The measurements were taken by the chief mathematician of the kingdom.
Twice around the thumb is once around the wrist. Twice around the wrist is once around the neck. Twice around the neck is once around the waist. Therefore, if the Man Mountain will graciously submit his finger for measurement, we shall know the dimensions of his entire body.
To be posted throughout the kingdom, wanted 500 seamstresses to fashion a shirt for the Man Mountain.
Wanted 700 tailors to shape a coat for the Man Mountain.
Wanted 600 cobblers. The Man Mountain requires a new pair of shoes.
On the outskirts of the palace grounds, a great house was thrown up for me by 6,000 carpenters, masons, and other craftsmen working night and day, and in the fields surrounding, hundreds of cows, cows the size of bumblebees. When roasted whole, two of them made a mouthful. But alas, I had an enemy in those days, Flimnap, Admiral Flimnap of the Imperial Navy, who took a strange and sinister dislike to me.
Your Majesty!
Yes, Flimnap?
This Man Mountain is a menace to our kingdom. Ah, when he walks, the earth trembles. Cracks appear in the ground, swallowing up your subjects. His head scrapes against the clouds, discharging rains which flood our rivers and drown our villages. I say the Man Mountain must be destroyed.
I have heard nothing of these calamities, Admiral Flimnap. I think you are jealous of him because he has allied himself with us against the Befeskins. What do you say of this, General Glumbach?
I'm inclined to agree with your Majesty. The Man Mountain has announced a plan for the total elimination of the Blefuscan fleet. And this does not sit so well with our Admiral, who desires the glory of such a triumph for himself.
Bah! Mark you, this Man Mountain bodes no good for Lilliput. I warn you, he is a menace and must be removed.
I was curious to know more of this minute kingdom and petitioned the king to reveal its history to me.
You see, Man Mountain, my kingdom has been engaged in a mighty war with the Blefuscans for 36 moons.
But what is your quarrel, sire?
I'm about to tell you. If you'll be good enough, Man Mountain, to stretch out your fingers so that I might lie back and rest my head. Thank you. Now then. As all men know, Man Mountain, in the old days, the way of breaking an egg was upon the large end.
Oh?
But my royal grandfather, who was only a child at the time, happened while opening his egg at the large end to cut his finger.
Oh.
Whereupon the emperor, his father, published a decree commanding all his subjects to break their eggs from that day on at the small or safe end.
Small or safe end.
Yes, mm-hmm. You follow me, Man Mountain?
Perfectly, Your Majesty. Eggs.
Eggs. Many Lilliputians rose up against the small end edict. Oh, those were gory days. Very gory days. Thousands of people suffered death rather than agree to break their eggs at the little end.
Oh, dear, dear.
And thousands more fled to the island of Blefuscu and raised powerful armies, and waged war against the kingdom of Lilliput. And now the Big Enders are preparing to attack us with a mighty fleet. Are you ready, Man Mountain, to assist in the defense of our empire according to the articles of your emancipation?
I am ready to defend the state of Lilliput against all invaders, Your Majesty. I have devised a plan for the capture of the entire Blefuscan fleet.
Glorious, Man Mountain.
Tomorrow at dawn, I shall perform the greatest naval maneuver in history. Single-handed. The Empire of Blefuscu was an island separated from Lilliput by a channel about 1,800 yards wide, which at its deepest part was 50 glumgluffs. That's about 4 English feet. At dawn of the following day, I equipped myself with some strings and fish hooks, and putting off my shoes and stockings, waded across to the harbor of Blefuscu. I arrived at the Blefuscan fleet, which consisted of 60 men of war and a number of transports. I fixed a hook to the bow of each ship, clipped off the anchor lines with my knife, and returned to Lilliput with the entire Blefuscan fleet in tow. The Blefuscans were too amazed to offer any resistance whatever. In Lilliput, a national holiday was declared to celebrate my achievement.
Man Mountain!
Yes, Your Majesty.
I desire you to stand erect in our public square with your legs asunder while my armies pass beneath you in a victory parade.
What a spectacle that was. 500,000 Lilliputians lined the streets as the soldiers of Lilliput marched under me, 24 abreast, while His Majesty reviewed them seated on the buckle of my shoe. But my triumph was short-lived.
The Blefuscans are at our mercy. They know that with the great Man Mountain as our protector and ally, we are invincible. Now let us sweep away these big-end infidels.
Just a moment, Your Majesty. I agreed only to assist you in the defense of your country. And now that the danger is gone...
Well, the danger is never gone. While these Blefuscan barbarians continue to break their eggs at the big end, I will eliminate them. I will turn their kingdom into a Lilliputian province. Only I shall rule. The scourge of the universe. That's me.
Well, I'm sorry, Your Majesty. I refuse. This quarrel is not worth the lives of innocent people. I beseech Your Majesty, send ambassadors to Blefuscu to arrange a peace, an honorable peace.
Traitor!
I warned you, Your Majesty. I told you so.
You did, Admiral Flimnap. Indeed, you did.
General Glumbach.
Put me in your pocket. If I was seen here at your house, my life would not be worth a plug flick-knock.
Well, what brings you to me, General, in the middle of the night?
Your enemy, Admiral Flimnap, has convinced His Majesty that you must...
Yes, yes.
Oh, I hate to say it, Man Mountain, but you must be put to death.
What?
It's true. I have with me a copy of your death warrant. It reads... Since it is obvious that the Man Mountain is a big ender at heart, it is decreed that while he sleeps, he shall suffer to have his eyes put out by means of poisoned arrows, whereupon he will grow weak and, lacking food, die in misery. Signed, Galbasto Mullialigu, Emperor of Lilliput.
Though I might with my toe have kicked down the royal palace and ground out with my heel the lives of 100 Lilliputian men, I had no desire to harm these foolish little creatures. Instead, I made my way to the shore. It was my plan to wade across the channel again and seek haven with the Blefuscans. But there, floating against the beach, was the longboat of the Swallow, driven across the waters from the reef on which we had foundered weeks before. It was oarless but seaworthy. I stuffed my pockets with food and scooped up from a pasture a half dozen fine fat Jersey cows, which I placed in my pocket. Then, without even a compass, I pushed off into the limitless sea. Days later, I was pulled aboard a merchant ship,
All right, take him aboard, men. Over the side. Captain John Biddle, sir, commanding the Dolphin, bound for England. Are you all right, man?
By thunder, another man mountain.
Another what?
Oh, no, nothing, Captain, nothing. My name is Lemuel Gulliver. I was surgeon to the merchant ship Swallow. We struck a rock and all hands went down.
Huh?
I managed to reach the longboat. I've been floating on the seas for days, for many days, watching for a sail and dreaming of men the size of my big toe, horses and cows I could put on my fingernail.
Well, now you've had a nasty time of it, Gulliver, but some food and rest, time to forget. England again and you'll be a new man.
Yes, dreams, strange dreams. Out there on the sea with only the sky for company, a man dreams. The Emperor's name was Galbasto Mali Ali Gu.
Take him below. Fix him a bunk, Mr. Williams. I'll get the ship's doctor.
Aye, aye, sir. Come along, Mr. Gulliver.
Aye, dreams. Marvelous, incredible.
Full sail ahead. Put her in the wind, my lads. Poor fellow. Curious what the sun and open sea will do to a man's head.
Captain. Huh? Excuse me, Captain. You'd best have this man Gulliver's clothes burned. He's brought some strange insects aboard.
Insects?
Look, on the deck. Several of them have dropped from his pockets as he climbed aboard.
What are they, man? Beetles? Mosquitoes?
There's one at your foot, sir. Trample it out. Don't take it in your hand, son. It may be poisonous.
Oh, nonsense. Let's have a look at it. Good Lord, man. This is a cow. A live cow. A quarter of an inch long.
You've been listening to Jonathan Swift's famous satire, Gulliver's Travels, the favorite story of the star of so many screen hits, Ray Milland. We want to say right now that any resemblance to Lilliputians, living or dead, was purely coincidental. Our cast this week featured Carl Harbord as Gulliver and a celebrated assortment of famous voices from Hollywood's cartoon studios. Claude Sweeten and the Favorite Story Orchestra tooted some strange and tiny instruments this week to march in the Lilliputian parade. All in all, it's been a delight to bring you Gulliver's Travels. Next week, an intriguing love story. All the more fascinating because the people are real and the events actually took place. Myling, the tragic story of the woman who dared to love the most dangerous young man in Europe, Rudolf of Habsburg, Crown Prince of Austria-Hungary. It was chosen as the favorite story of Mr. Gregory Peck. When we bring you the moving romance of Myling, we hope you'll be listening.